Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome back to the We Are Women podcast, and I've got something a little bit different today and a speaker that's got a little bit of a different topic, and I'm fascinated to find out some more. I have with me Annette Bolch. Now, Annette is a relationships counsellor and a sex coach. I know she's the director of Oz Tantra, and along with her life and her business partner, Graham, they specialise in supporting people who want passionate and help them create loving, deeply fulfilling, intimate and extraordinary relationships. Intimate relationships. We'll add the intimate there too. So for the last 10 years, Graham and Annette have informed, educated and counselled over 2,000 people about intimate relationships. And with over 700 couples, they've worked to give face-to-face training on how to achieve stunning success rate, Annette.
Yes.
78% of happily staying together. That's
the happily staying together.
It is. That's the important factor, isn't it?
It is.
And I know your approach is one of unique. You work with couples as a couple, which is important.
Absolutely.
And that you treat a relationship as a container for each person's individual growth and see their problems as simply pathways reaching their highest potential. I love the way that you framed that. This is why that you're known for changing people's lives through changing their relationships. So welcome to the We Are Women podcast, and I'm very interested to see where we go today.
Thank you, Janine. I'm really excited to hear where we go to as well, because I believe that where I am in my relationship, and I'm also a female entrepreneur in probably one of the most difficult businesses you could ever come across, teaching sex and relationships, and I find that a lot of the challenges that I come across in my business are very similar to the ones in my relationship, because in my business, it's my passion. It's coming from a very deep place in me. And it's, you know, I'm in it up to my neck, like most of us are as female entrepreneurs. It's really coming from a place of excitement and passion in us. And we're giving it our all, even when we find that, you know, it's late at night and we're doing work for the next day and we're still up there. We're still doing it because we have that intensity.
Most of us have.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So we continue to put in despite the challenges, and it's really how I find that I approach my relationship as well. You know, it's really coming from a deep place in me, and it's something that even when I am in the challenges of and feeling really vulnerable, feeling really exposed, putting myself out there in a really big way, as I think we're all doing as these new wave of female entrepreneurs.
Because we've got to do it all.
That's right. We have to do it all. Oh. The good part about relationship is that we have someone there to support us, but there is part of us that is about us, you know, really giving it our all. And I think that's where it's very similar to what I'm doing in my work life. So, and some of the skills are similar as well.
Mm, okay. So for this type of, look, there's lots of relationship counsellors out there, Annette.
Absolutely, there are.
But I haven't ever introduced somebody as a sex coach before. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm imagining there is a big why. Why is this your passion?
There's a lot of counsellors out there, and one of the reasons why I include sex is that it actually gets men along to counselling a lot more easily than it might otherwise happen. But even deeper than that is that I believe that the power of the heart combined with the aliveness and the intensity of sexual passion, sexual heat, really creates magic in a relationship. And we can have friendship and we can have love and connection with a lot of people in our lives, but really our intimate partner is the only one that we have that passionate sexual connection with. And that, you know, when we nurture that, it really makes such a difference in relationship. And it doesn't have to look any particular way. We're not trying to turn you into, you know, porn performers in the bedroom, but it's really just about how to be connected and enjoy that part of ourselves without having to perform. And it's not only just sex in the bedroom, but it's also sex as aliveness, as passion, as connection to ourselves, you know, in our bodies as women. You know, we are very sexual beings, despite the fact that we've been conditioned out of it.
Well, that was going to be my statement there, is that that often does happen. I think that's, it's certainly changing, but it is something that a lot of people, women, have been conditioned to think and particular way.
Well, to lie back and think of England, I mean, it's a while since we've talked like that, but there has been still a degree of sex is more about men, but really ultimately if we give ourselves permission, we're very sexual beings, and we love being alive, we love being intensity, we love being really putting ourselves out there. So that's really part of sex as well.
And so, you know, part of your why as well, Graham hasn't been the person that you've been with all your life?
That's right. Graham and I are both in our second relationships. We both had long-term marriages of around 20 years that ended. And when we got together, we both had a passion to get it right this time and to learn the skills that it would take to really make a difference this time. Because both of us in our marriages, you know, we were married to good people, and we are good people. It's, you know, part of it was just a lack of skills, a lack of understanding that allowed us to fall apart. So we wanted to change that this time. And so our 15-year relationship has really been a bit like a laboratory where we've explored every different aspect of relationship that we could. So we've had a lot of fun doing it. And that's, you know, we put that into our work as well. It's not all serious and heavy, you know, it's how to enjoy yourself too.
And I think that would be a very important part of it. Working with couples, being a couple, and who've gone, oh, that worked, that didn't work, that worked, that didn't work, and have experimented, and everything's going to be different for every couple as to what works and
very
what doesn't
so.
As well.
Yes.
But at least being there and experiencing that along the way, you know, I'm always amazed at these people that give advice, you know, to parents without having had children. So
yes.
It's not that they can't, it's just that when you've lived it in your own space, then you obviously can probably appreciate the issues on a different perspective.
Very much so. And Graham has had children and I haven't. So if there is anything about children, I tend to, you know, he tends to cover that part. And I try not to give advice from a place where, well, not that we give advice as counsellors anyway, but I try not to come from that place because it's not my experience, whereas being in relationship is.
Being in a, as you said, being with somebody that, you know, it was a good person, but it just doesn't work out. Look, there's going to be a lot of people that are listening that are going to relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to recognize that within themselves and within their own lives and their own relationships, that they probably are with good people or have been with good people, and for some reason it didn't work out, or it's not working out, or it's not as good as they would want it to be. So that's what we're going to talk about, is how do we make it better, or even if we are by ourselves, what do we look for in the next time that comes along and we go, this is the type of relationship I want, and getting what we want and need to nurture ourselves.
And probably the most important thing to realize about relationship is the most important relationship we have is with ourselves, because the thing that I noticed in my relationships, even though Graham, as my second partner, was extremely different in his personality to my first husband, I was still in the relationship and I was still myself. And so I recreated exactly the same challenges for myself in my second relationship as I had in my first relationship. So it's really all about us, and what we bring to relationship is the first place to look. You know, it's not about marrying the perfect man. It's about
they aren't there. Really?
No, perfect is not there, but absolutely wonderfully, mind-blowingly beautiful and powerful and warm and supportive and loving is definitely there.
Right. Okay. All right. We've got that cleared up now. We're not looking for perfect.
No.
But we've still got a tick list, haven't we?
Well, we do. But the thing about it is, have you ever thought about your tick list and how hard it is for you to actually live up to your own tick list? I mean, why are we putting that on guys out there? You know, it just makes everything hard work. It's so much fun not being perfect.
Look, that's something they play up in the movies. You know, I'm a huge fan of Big Bang Theory.
Uh-huh.
And they're
I have an odd theory about that myself.
Okay, yeah, that's good. We'll get into that shortly, I'm sure. But they, you know, the guys are the nerdiest looking fellas out there, and they're trying to hook onto the hottest looking mm-hmm. chicks in the bar, mm-hmm. and with an expectation that there's no reason why they couldn't and mm-hmm. wouldn't. But it is, again, that they're setting themselves up as this different belief within themselves mm. as opposed to what they're expecting from somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And there's actually something interesting. I wasn't intending to talk about this, but since you bring it up, there's an interesting point there in that men are really good at believing in themselves, and women could actually learn a bit from them, because that guy who's maybe not so perfectly put out there, he's still believing that he's in there with a chance, whereas a woman, she's got all the 1,001 reasons why she's not in there with a chance. So not that I'm advocating that it's okay not to put your best foot forward, but to have that belief that, you know, if you show up, you're in there with a chance is something we can definitely learn from men.
That is a very, very good point. And it's really relevant to the people that are listening in all aspects of their life, isn't it?
Yes. You know, that if you're an entrepreneur and you're putting yourself out there, you've got believe you've got a chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know. So what are the main problems that people come to you with?
Well, the main problems are really, especially in today's modern relationships, it's how to find that balance between connection, the intimacy that we all just crave and is an important human need. It's not just something that's the nice, frilly, romantic bits. It's really an important human need. And balancing that with our increasing sense of self, because as we go forward in modern day living, we're really becoming more connected, having a stronger sense of self than ever before. So then how do we relate in relationship when, you know, we know what we want, we're clear about who we are, yet we're here with this other person who's got, you know, maybe very different ideas, but they want to relate and connect with us. So it's how to balance that, the intimacy and the individuality in relationship. And so the main problems that people come to us with are about communication. How do we really see each other and feel each other and get each other when we're both such different creatures? And in intimacy, communication can get pretty messy. And that's actually not wrong. It's just, you know, knowing where we're coming from and understanding each other can really make a difference.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's not just that the verbal communication is where we normally instantly think about when we're talking about communication, but we're, you know, that consideration of how do we communicate what we want and what feels right and what is right for us as well is
absolutely
is crucial, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the second problem?
Problem is how to recreate that intimacy, because after the first magic has passed in relationship, which it always does, is how to learn the skills to recreate that intimacy in a place that's really rewarding, you know, rather than have it just be in a too hard basket, you know, just couples can tend to avoid intimacy because it just seems too hard to create it. So what are the skills that you can learn to actually...
And we're too busy.
Well, part of that is if you have the ability to create really good intimacy, the priority goes up much higher on the list. So,
Right. You
know, we make time to do all the other things we need to do in life. So when we really want to be intimate, believe me, we make the time.
And look, that's something that I bring up with a whole lot of other things. So it's really good that you've brought it up here, because people say, I haven't got the time. And I said, you'll always have the time for something you want to do.
Absolutely.
So again, if things are a priority and, you know, I've used this line on more than one occasion that, you know, that learning the skills, putting the time in and getting the resources is a lot cheaper than a divorce.
Absolutely. That is a very powerful line. You know, and if you're looking forward to something that you know is going to really open your heart, that's going to nurture you to the depths of your soul, and it's going to be juicy and fun, why wouldn't you be making time for that?
Okay, I know what I'm doing this weekend. Making time, it's important. And the third problem.
The third one is probably the most obvious one, is what happens to sex, you know, once the first flush of new relationship is over, how do we get rid of that boredom? How do we bring new life into the bedroom? And how do we stop performing and just get real and have a good time instead?
Okay, yeah, and that's something. And is that more of a male or female thing particularly, or not really, or it's just
well,
even?
I think traditionally men have seen to be more focused on the sex, but as women get more out there and we become more masculine in a way, but we become more focused on putting ourselves out there and asking for what we want. Women are more direct in actually wanting sex as well. And there is a bit of a tip over to where there's more men having low libido now as women. So, and women are the ones left wanting. So it's really a bit of both.
Okay. All right. And look, it's not just the physical though, is it, as well?
It's not just the physical, no. If you want really great sex, it's about slowing down and actually feeling, and it's about not performing as well, because mm-hmm. often we have this idea in our minds that sex needs to look like this fantasy that we've got going on in our head. And when we try to fit ourselves into that, we actually lose sight of who we are. So it's about just letting go of that idea of what sex is, just getting into the, coming into the moment and seeing what happens.
Mm.
And, you know, letting it flow from there, letting it just stopping, breathing, getting into your body, saying, yeah, I really want to, I desire to be here. I want to have time with you. Don't know what it's going to look like. What can we create together? You know, rather than just going, oh, A to B to Z, and I know exactly what he's going to do now, and then I know what he's going to do after that, and I'm not there yet, and how's it going to happen? Like, you know, that's just,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, look, yeah. I know I'm laughing because I know that there's going to be people listening mm-hmm. that are going, that are thinking, oh, yeah, that's just what it is.
And, exactly.
And again, it's.
There's only so many ways you can do it when you come from that place.
And yes, and it's no wonder that people start to think, why bother?
Exactly. It sadly becomes a chore, you mm. know, and that's really sad because mm. it's, you know, it's one of the biggest intimate relationship. Sex is the only thing that we do with this one person in the world. Well, mostly mm. it's the mm. only, you know, mm. the only thing that makes this relationship special. So why not do it in a way that enhances it rather than drains the life out of it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can, and those that have listened to the other podcasts know that I sort of come from a spiritual place as well. Mm. So I'm sort of feeling that it's not just the physical, it's all this whole connection thing, isn't it? You know,
it is. That's right. When we bring the heart and we bring the sex together, that's really what makes something magical, like I was saying before. And it's not necessarily that we have to do something to be spiritual. It's really just bringing those two things together allows magical things. It allows us to have a sense of that something that's greater than, you know, just two people in bed together.
Yeah.
You know, it's really magical.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Okay. Now,
where do we go from here?
I'm just thinking that. Yeah. Okay. So there's a way we can do it, is there?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so are we talking about just sex now, or are we?
Well, I know that you've got something called the 7 steps to a mm-hmm. succulent relationship, which mm-hmm. that's a very succulent word, isn't it?
It is. succulent.
Mm-hmm. It just rolls off the tongue.
It does. And creating succulent relationship isn't easy if there's no one fixed pill for it, but when you get a look at what's possible, look at the potential of it, you know, then it becomes a lifetime journey. It becomes something, a real passion. And the steps that we offer in our work is really about how to create safety, how to create a place where you can actually really connect with each other, and how to communicate in a way that actually breaks your walls down rather than puts more walls up.
Because that's sometimes when people are working through counseling mm. is that the communication gets really heated and mm-hmm. it's neither person's feeling heard, and mm-hmm. you know, so being able to safely say what you want to say without feeling that you're going to be devalued or accused is probably mm. A really important. I know you've put that as number one. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see why you've put that as number one.
And it's not just about communication, because in communication, often what we're trying to do is we're trying to get our point across and we're trying to be right. And because relationship is so subjective, there often isn't, there's more than one right. And so if you can come to communication in relationship from a place of wanting to understand where your partner's coming from rather than trying to get your point across mm. and also trying to get to be understood, and just slowing it down a bit and really bringing your body into communication, which sounds a really kind of woo. I'm almost from Byron Bay, so I can almost say that.
Well, there you go.
But often when we're just communicating through our heads, through our ego, really, we can easily get lost in that ungrounded kind of you said this and he said that yeah. and all that yeah. stuff. So when you're communicating, is just taking a moment every now and again just to take a breath and just feel, what are you feeling in your body? And just and that helps us to get grounded, and it helps us to feel safe, really. And so once we reconnect with our body, then we can actually come from a much more rational place. So in a much more open place, like when I feel safe, I don't have to protect myself, I don't have to defend myself as much, I can actually hear more easily. And the other thing I just have to say in relating with men is women tend to use 1,001 words, okay? And what I've really come to learn is that by the time I've said my 1,000th word, is the man's actually, he's been gone, you know, he was gone after the first 7 or 8 words. And when a guy communicates, often he will communicate, particularly in relationship, with a few number of words, because he's challenged being in this place of, you know, intimacy. But if we can slow down enough to actually hear those 7 words, he's saying an awful lot, you know, if we really, and it's almost like not even trying to understand him, but actually to feel him, you know, that really makes a difference. And they get it as well. We think that women are just all the ones who know all about feelings. Guys do it. They don't talk about it. They don't necessarily understand it, but they absolutely do it. Yeah. We just need to slow down enough to feel them.
And that's extreme. There's a, you know, a whole lot of good points on in that I can sort of pull from.
I know. We could talk about communication forever.
Yeah. But you know that the important factor is that yes, men do have, you know, that feeling, and they don't communicate as usually as succinctly. Their emotions as succinctly as women do. I mean, they can communicate very well, but that's.
I actually disagree. Oh, okay. I actually think that they do communicate their emotions. It's just we expect them to communicate in the overtly in the way that we do. Men communicate very subtly. That's why if we can take a moment just to stop and breathe and actually feel and listen to them, we'll actually see that there's a lot more going on. It's a lot more subtle.
That's a really, really valuable point.
But it's really, really deep. You know, women are kind of all fluttering around the surface, and we're, you know, being emotional about this and we're being emotional about that. And just because we're doing it this way doesn't mean a guy has to do it that way. He can communicate his emotion in, you know, 3 or 4 words if we actually stop and feel him.
No, that's an extremely good point. And I know you work with gay couples, girls, and guys as well. So do they communicate more easily with each other, or?
Well, there are different stereotypes. It probably really comes down to the individual people and where are they coming from. I don't want to kind of try I'm talking a little bit about men and women in one way because it tends to be the most common, but people in individual relationships have their own versions of communication, and so do gay couples as well.
So it's all, but the important factor is they're creating that safety.
Yes, that's right. Stop, breathe, and feel, and seek to understand rather than be right.
Yes, that's a good point. Be right. I can't be right.
Well, you can be, but you can both be right.
Very interesting point. I read an article yesterday, and I wish I could remember the person's name, but she's a speaker on how women should speak, and she does keynotes, and saying that when women give keynotes or presentations or speak, they'll use 1,000 words, as you said.
Yes.
And she said, you know, they'll say something, look, I feel that we need to, you know, paint the house blue, whatever it is, as opposed
to. And not just blue, but is it aqua blue or a kind of a blue or
sky blue? But yes, but whereas a man will say, we need to paint the house.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, they won't even say need. They'll just say, you know, they'll just paint the house.
Exactly. So, and it's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's all there.
Yeah. And it was a really interesting article. And I was writing something, and I think I took out about 50 words out of what I was writing just doing.
It's a skill I'm still developing myself.
Now, number 2 of your 7 steps.
Number 2 is about learning vital feeling skills, and it's really the number 1 biggie in all of our relationship work, because in our society we've really been invited to see feelings as being emotional, being messy, as being irrelevant. And maybe they are in a business meeting, but when you're getting to intimate relationship, they're really the number one. And the biggest problem we have with them is that we make them wrong and we try to stop ourselves from feeling. And when we're resisting that feeling, we're just creating all of this tension and all of this stress in our bodies. And so if you can just say, I'm giving myself permission to feel in my relationship, and you will change the nature of that relationship totally. It's just about not making yourself wrong and being real with your experience, because the reality is we do have emotions come up in intimacy. You know, it's the number one place to feel, because it's such a challenging place. And if we can learn to actually be okay with our feelings, then, and to be okay with vulnerability, because we really see vulnerability as a weakness, mm-hmm. but in intimacy, it's absolutely a strength. The more we can actually feel open and vulnerable, and just drop that idea that it's a bad thing, that it's a scary thing, and just experience that, we can connect in a way that's so much easier. And if you've got all your walls up, it's pretty hard to really connect and really be intimate. So a lot of our work is really around emotional intelligence, and that's understanding our emotions, what they are, and how to feel them, how to be okay with them.
Okay. It's obviously, yeah. I'm just processing that through myself as well. So, and I can see that it's critical that you do open up, and the word vulnerability is an interesting word, isn't it? It's not something that look, most, you know, a lot of the women who are listening to this are, you know, striving for their own business or have their own business, and in that sort of world, it's not, it's frowned on, it's not something that they necessarily want to portray. So to be able to recognize that within an intimate relationship, is that they can be comfortable with it, is a change of framing themselves and framing where they are, isn't it?
In a way it is, but the more in your personal life and in places where, you know, you are by yourself or there is room to acknowledge your emotions, then the more they'll actually be comfortable when you're in places that are where it's less, you know, less okay for them to show up. So it's like you get more comfortable in your body. So because when we've got unexpressed emotions, we carry tension and stress in the body. So the more that we let ourselves feel them when we can, then the more comfortable we'll be in our bodies in times when it's not okay to show them, because we're not carrying all of that unexpressed stress. And when I talk about feeling your emotions, it doesn't mean that you have to use 10 boxes of tissues or yell and scream and jump up and down. It's really just feeling them in your body, you know, and making them okay. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's quite an interesting thing. That's something, since knowing you, I've become a little bit more aware of. Thank you for that, Annette.
I think I have challenged you at the odd time.
You have. But it's something that I know when I take that time to stop and just hang on to that, oh, okay, where has that come from, and why is that there? And not even analyze. I don't even do that now.
Just what is this?
Yeah, it's basically that, go, just let me own it for a minute.
And that's it.
Yeah, and then it switches off, and it's
like we get real with ourselves. You know, I think I'm actually feeling sad here, or I think I'm actually feeling really scared here. And the next thing that we usually do is, this is really wrong, but it's not. It's just our judgment that we make it wrong. It's just a feeling. It's just energy moving in the body. That's all. And let me tell you, girls, if you want a better sex life, you've got to start feeling your emotions, because they're all feelings, and they're like a hose. If you clamp off the hose to one, you clamp off the hose to all of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, more feeling brings more passion.
Yeah, great analogy. And as you were talking then, I was thinking of that movie Inside Out. Have you seen that? It's a children's movie where she's got the different emotions living in
her head. Yes, I have heard of it. Haven't seen it yet.
No,
yes.
I haven't either. And everyone's raved about it. So she's got sadness living there and anger and all of these. So it's exactly that, recognizing, okay, that's okay to be sad. It's just a state. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It has a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, sadness is about letting go of the past, letting go of what we've been holding on to, so we can open up to new things. All our emotions have purpose. The molecules of emotion have been found by scientists in the earliest forms of life. They're part of our survival system. So, you know, we shouldn't. I don't like using the word shouldn't. It's important to acknowledge them. You know, not to take them out of the picture, because they're part of who we are as humans.
Yeah.
No. And when I'm grounded and I'm feeling present and I'm really okay with my feelings and I show up at a business meeting, I can like it right here. Once I would have been in a total state of panic and not able, just totally blank and not able to function in this particular situation here in a radio station.
Look how much good information now.
I know. It's trying to shut me up because it's a problem.
And that sort of leads on to that third step then, isn't it, that developing that sense of self.
And that really relates to what I was saying earlier about we bring ourselves into relationship. No matter which relationship we're in, we're always bringing ourselves into that. And it's important to know who we are and what are we bringing to the relationship. Understanding a little bit about our childhood, what's the personality that we've developed as a result of that, and then how is that personality impacting in our relationship? Like my particular personality was that I was a very shy, introverted child. And so in relationship, my part of what I bring into relationship is that it's very hard for me to actually bring things up. I would rather just be in my own head and try and work things out rather than actually talk about issues, because I would be, you know, feeling too shy to do that. And what I've had to learn in my relationship is actually how to speak up for myself. So, and it's also important to have to recognize our own needs, to know what our own boundaries are in relationship, because boundaries help to define our sense of self. Also to know what our values are, what our desires are, you know, who are we? Because the more we know about ourselves, the more we can actually share with our partners, and the more they know, the more they can share with us. So it just kind of brings the richness of layers, because sometimes we can just, if we don't take a little bit of time just to look at that, we can go unconsciously into roles of playing the wife and the husband, you know, or the father, or the provider, or the good little woman, you know, and they're probably roles that we saw our parents play, and they may not necessarily be that helpful for us, you know, here in this modern relationship dynamic where we don't have time to be the complete homemaker because we're out there running our own business. So
yes.
What does being a wife and mother look like to us?
And that's where a lot of women put that expectation on themselves, because and not just women, but we're talking mostly to women at the moment, is that expectation of, okay, so now I've got a job and I may or may not have a business I'm trying to run as well as the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have got the children, so we've got to organize their day and what's happening and still be there to make sure that the housework's done and that the husband's nurtured and the parents are looked after and the list goes on and on and on, because we've seen our mother do the housewife role and the house mother role, but we've had to take on all these other roles.
To take them on, really. You know, we want to be out there having our own business. It's not just a
not have to. But for some people, it is a
true.
Have to.
That is true.
And some choose that they still want to be if the choice was there, they would prefer to be in that situation. But most women that we're talking to that are listening to this, women who've gone, you know, I've got a really great idea and I want to be able to share that with the world and have gone out to create an opportunity to do that. But we find it so hard to let go of the other stuff.
And I think there's a lot I could say about that, but what the main thing that I would say is, remember every time you go on an aeroplane, what they say is make sure you fit your own oxygen mask before attending to others. And that's what it comes down to, is we've got to attend to your own needs first. And sometimes, you know, we need to get creative about, well, we need to know what our needs are for a start, and then we need to find what are the different ways that I can most effectively meet my needs, and then from that place do all the rest. And it may be as simple as getting up out of bed 10 minutes earlier and having 10 minutes meditation time, just sitting out on the grass with our feet, bare feet on the grass, and just feeling the nature around. Or if you don't have access to that, is imagining that you're in nature and feeling the sun. Yeah. Because as women, we're creatures of the earth, you know, and sometimes we can really miss out on that. So, you know, maybe it can be just that 10 minutes, the word is meditation, but, you know, just sitting in nature or imagining nature can really totally revitalize yourself. And also remembering to breathe during the day and feel is another way that women can nurture themselves.
And something else too is just really being focused in the moment that you're in, and not,
that's beautiful.
Trying to think of everything else that you've got to do. Rather, when you're sitting on the grass, you're sitting on the grass. Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. It's another. We'll talk about it where sex can really help with everyday skills.
Yeah,
of learning to be in the moment.
Yeah, excellent. Just on that thing, I just had an awful lot on recently, and I had the opportunity on the weekend. I was attended a conference down at the Gold Coast, and stayed at a friend's house who they weren't home, which was just lovely. I love them, but I was just
a bit of space.
It was space. It was just, we got there, you know, back there at 8:30 at night, and had the place to myself. And then they lived near the Broadwater, so I went for a walk for half an hour with the joggers and powered it out. And then the other half an hour on the way back, took the shoes off and walked all the way through the water and the sand.
Yes, really gorgeous.
And it was just it just re-energized me. It just gave me back that connection that I needed, and that part of that connection is with self as well, as the earth. So
that's right.
Yeah,
and for women, it's often one and the same thing, you know. So you're not just going for a walk; you're actually nurturing your soul.
Yeah,
which sounds a bit out there, but that's the experience, really. If you can just be in the moment and not be thinking of the thousand and one things that you have to do as you're walking along the beach, but just being on the beach, feeling the water, you know, feeling the sand. And it's one of the reasons why I'm sitting here in bare feet myself, so that I'm nice and grounded.
My Linux head lady. Oh, no, it's such a beautiful part of the world to live
it
in.
It is. I know. I feel very blessed.
Yeah, excellent. So number four.
Doing some sexploration. So part, this is a
nice
really
word. I like that word.
I know it's actually an Annette word, that one. Beautiful. I created that one. So
excellent.
And it's just defining for yourself what part of life does the sex have for you. Are you someone who wants to put it in the corner for the last thing at night, or are you someone who really believes in sexuality as part of their spiritual practice, or are you someone who loves sex because it feels really good, or are you someone who loves the intimacy of sex and thinking about, you know, how you've been, what's your sexual history been like, and what's that bringing to your sex life now. And it's more just what box are you putting it in, because often we can put it again in that kind of unconscious box. And what do you want out of it, and what can you bring? And practicing, learning some sexual skills where you can not stop performing and just drop, be in the moment. Breathe, feel, and connect to yourself like you were doing on the beach a little while ago, because often the biggest thing that women have about sex is that they have no libido because they're too tired. But if you actually see that, often we see sex is we build up all this tension and release it in an orgasm. But if you can change sex from being about that tension release to being about relaxation at the beginning, so the start of sex is just maybe lying together naked, holding each other, and just breathing for a few minutes, relaxing. And from that place, then starting to connect with each other and starting to move from that place and just letting whatever wants to happen from that place. It's a really different way of looking at sex, but it's just so powerful. And if you think guys are not going to be interested, they are going to be interested. We just need to be clear about that we're not trying to avoid sex. We're not trying to take anything away from them. We're really just wanting to do it from a place that nurtures us as well, you know, because another part of why women don't enjoy sex is because they're not fully turned on, you know, we're only halfway there, and no wonder we get over it after a while. So we need that bit of time just to let our bodies soften, let our bodies relax, let our bodies open a little. And when we do that, our sexual energy always arises just by itself. We don't actually have to get in there with a backhoe and dig it out. we just need that bit of time. Sorry.
That's all right. We've got a backhoe coming into our yard tomorrow to dig up some sleepers and garden. And I just had a vision of that.
I hope he's a cute young guy. No, I didn't say that.
My husband's driving it.
So. Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to look at that backhoe quite differently
you are,
tomorrow.
You are.
Now. Thank you, Annette.
You'll be very excited about the gardening.
But I understand that's it is a different thing because of that, you know, the whole business life, everything getting in the way, that libido does drop for
absolutely,
a lot of women, especially when, you know, you've got that busy household things.
Well, busy women are running on adrenaline, and that's really one of the biggest medical health crises that's happening in the Western world is women are totally adrenally stressed. And so the way to actually start to re-energize ourselves is to that relaxation and that dropping into connecting with our sexual pleasure actually is very nurturing.
Okay, so we've all got homework for the weekend. Mm-hmm.
And moving on to this next point is that I just want to put it out there that often we think that men are all about sex and women are all about heart, and that's the way that we've been conditioned. But if you actually look a bit deeper underneath and you change that belief to believe that women bring sex into a relationship and men bring heart, you can actually really change the dynamic. If you look at your man and see that what he's bringing is what you most want, which is his heart, it can really change how you feel about your man than if you think that all he's wanting is, you know, to get off.
I've never heard that turn on that before, and I'm just
it's really amazing.
Just give us all a moment and we can think about that. Okay. Yep. So yes, so thinking that he, rather than, you know, what's the conception is
men just wanting to get off, they want to get inside you so they can get off. So that may be true, but underneath that what they're really wanting is to be loved and to share love.
Okay
On top of that is the conditioning. But underneath that, they want to really connect with us and experience love.
Because we've always been, you know, told that, what is it, that women need to be loved to have sex and men need to have sex to be loved.
Yes,
which
yes.
is sort of the mindset.
But those things are still true, but there's this deeper truth underneath. And if when I think that what I'm bringing is sex, well, for a start, I probably think, oh, God, I'm too tired for that. But if I actually put sex into a place of sex, that sexual energy, that life force energy is what enlivens me, it energizes me, it awakens me, it nurtures me. And if I do the things like going for a walk, by breathing, feeling my emotions, connecting with myself, that part is already there. And we women are so big and so powerful in their sexuality, we just have no idea. And we're denying ourselves by trying to put ourselves into a masculine box. So exploring that part of ourselves, because mostly what women can feel in sex is a bit of a lack of power, a bit of vulnerability, a bit of shutdown. So if we can think of this place as a place of our greatest power, it can certainly, you know, change the desire for it. If we can imagine that in sex we can discover our greatest potential power about who we are, then it sounds pretty inviting.
They're
both very big concepts, but
they are very big
amazing.
Concepts. But and I can imagine that this is one of the reasons, you know, the 78% success rate.
Yes,
with couples,
absolutely. Because this is the number one part. Well, apart from learning to feel, this is the second.
Yeah, because it really is a big switch around on what people would normally perceive. So. Mm-hmm. And interesting that while you were talking about that, I had turned the air conditioning off and I went to the air conditioning back on.
She's starting to feel her power, ladies.
Either that or a hot flush, one of the two.
Same thing.
that was I just thought about that as I went to turn that on there.
Janine's so beautiful, ladies. If you want to work with someone and have a great time learning how to speak and present yourself and having a good time, Janine's the one.
Oh, thanks, Annette. Yeah, this is fun. So number six.
Now we're getting serious.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm cooling down.
You're cooling down. Okay. So one of the other things that we bring into relationship, bring into life really as human beings, is that we have shadow material. And shadow material is the parts of us that we've shut down in life because they haven't been acceptable either to our parents or to our school teachers or to significant others in our early life. So, and what happens is that we forget about those parts of ourselves or we disown those parts of ourselves. So one of the common things that disown parts that women have is that I'm a nice woman and I don't get angry. And
that's not me, but
so it used to be me very much. So I was very nice, but underneath I was seething with unexpressed anger, and it would come out in all these very covert ways of being niggly, of being nasty, of being covertly critical, and all these kind of very unpleasant ways. Women are very good at being abusive. We can do it in ways that are very covert.
I can relate to that. Yeah. I can recognize that.
And so, the thing about shadows is all that they need is being brought out to the light. And for me, what that looked like was just owning that actually I might be a nice person, but sometimes I can also be a total bitch. And making that okay. And it's like a bit the same as the feeling part of it. The more I make my bitchiness okay, the less I feel like I have to act it out, because it's come to a place of, oh, yeah, this is just who I am sometimes, you know, and it's okay. So that's a very simple part of looking at our shadows. Sometimes they can be like much deeper than those, just the parts of us. Sometimes as women we can be told by our dads that the place for a woman is in the home. It's not in being out there in the business world. And so we can carry that belief that, oh, I shouldn't really be doing this as we're going out into the world. I should really be fulfilling the women's role. And that's the part of ourselves that we shut down in shadow. And so giving ourselves permission to do that and just let go of that belief, that you don't have to have that belief. That was your dad's.
And you know, a word that just popped in my head as you're saying that is justify.
Oh, yes, justify.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, just feeling, more. Yeah, just feeling that, okay, I can go do that. I'm quite capable. I'm not going to take on anybody else's thoughts and feelings about me being out there in the workforce. I had this lovely lady the other night, Indian lady that I was talking to about similar thing, and she was a successful businesswoman, but she was justifying that someone was there. She went to India to collect. She went to Russia to collect this award for something, and she left the children for 2 weeks. But because she came from Indian community, you know, there was all these people that were on social media, her inverted commas friends, that were criticizing that she'd left the children with the husband for 2 weeks.
That's sad.
Yes, and so she, even though she could do all that, it's this shadow, this justification for her. And
she felt she didn't have the right to do that somewhere.
No, and even though she was presenting at this event, you could see that she just still was owning this having to justify why she'd gone and done what she'd done, you know.
And sometimes our shadows can be cultural as well. They don't, or they can be religious, or they can be societal. They don't necessarily have to be personal, but it's just looking at where these shadows might be playing out in your relationship. And one of the ways to actually find what your shadows might be is to, on a good day, is to ask your partner, what is it that they see in you that really triggers them, that really annoys them? Because that's when something is in shadow, it's more likely to actually irritate other people. And so it's just a starting place, and just hear what they have to say with an open mind, and then just ask yourself, is that something that I'm not owning? Because they might be able to see your bitch more than you can see it. You might think that you're being nice, but they might be able to see what's coming out on the other side. So just breathe, and just, you know, because everybody has them. So it's not that you're particularly a horrible person. Everybody has their shadows, and the most important. I have a women's group at home last night, and we were playing with this shadow piece, and at the end of the night we were all owning that we were all fucked up.
And we can use that word. It's all right. Absolutely. It's not the first time it's been used on this podcast.
I had a feeling it would be okay. But it's just, absolutely. Just bring it out that we're all human and it's okay, because we just set ourselves up with all of these shoulds about how we should be perfect, you know, how we should be, not have any faults at all. And it's so not true. We're humans, and that's part of our beauty, is actually having these faults that bring us back to, you know, because we can relate to people when they're human. You know, it's easier to relate to someone who's, you know, made a mistake than someone who's, you know, absolutely achieving everything, that's never made a mistake. Not that there's anything wrong with people achieving and doing well. That can be a beautiful thing that we can bring out in ourselves. Sometimes we're denying the gold in ourselves, so that can be a shadow. We can be happy to sit in a corner, not be who we're capable of being.
No, and look, that's one of the points I had. Somebody asked this morning, you know, to tell me about the podcasts and why I'm doing them. And that is exactly the one of the points I brought up. There's the people that I'm interviewing it's, you know, if I had Oprah on here, which would be amazing, I would get, you know, a huge download. There'd be millions of people that would be following her that would want to hear her being interviewed, which is amazing. But what I'm finding is I'm meeting all these amazing women who have got great stories and great information to share, whether they be somebody that is a sex coach or a financial advisor or a kinesiologist. You know, there's a whole range, and those listening to the podcast have heard the different people that I've interviewed over time, but they're just like the people that are listening.
And it's one of the reasons that I absolutely love the work that I do, because I get to meet so many people who are just totally fascinating, and they are totally amazing in who they are, and it just blows me away. Yeah. We're all special.
We are, and this is why I'm so passionate about getting this information
out
there.
Yes, I know that about you.
It's because it's, you know, we don't have to be the expert. There's people out there that have got great advice for us, and we can learn from so many people, and also providing the people that are speaking opportunity to share their businesses, so that if people want something and connect can go and get some more out of it as well. But just to go, you know, that's great information. I didn't know that. I really want to be able to learn and understand more about myself, all my finances, all my health, or whatever it is, but to be a woman.
And basically that's what I see, is that we're all just a big jigsaw, and as we go through life we're just learning more information about ourselves and filling in the missing pieces, you know, so that as we get older and more fantastic and more self-aware and more powerful, we're just filling in all of our bits and pieces, becoming more whole.
Great analogy. I love that.
We're not broken, we're just filling in our jigsaw.
Yeah, no, that's a fabulous analogy. And sometimes we might even put the wrong piece in the wrong place
and try to make it fit even though it's not going.
That's right, isn't it? But it just may be, it may need to be on the other side, and then it'll look totally different in a mirrored environment.
Exactly right, exactly.
Yeah. And number seven,
I call it creating relationship synergy, and it's really about taking a bit of a step back and looking at what do you want to put in your, it's kind of like the business plan, for want of a better word. It's about what is it, having a discussion with your partner, having a discussion with yourself about what is it that you want to create in your relationship, and having a relationship agreement where you know exactly what you're on about, where you have that certainty, where you have that solidity with each other. And when people do that, it's like, because often when people connect in their relationship, it's about what's going wrong. But this is about taking the time with what's actually going right. What do we want to enhance? What do we want to bring more of into our relationship? And just reviewing that relationship vision every year or so. And it's like bringing the power of that agreement into sorting things out. So if you have a disagreement, then you can have a look at your relationship vision and say, well, how does this kind of fit in with our vision? Is it going to enhance what we ultimately really want in our relationship, or is it going to detract? And just kind of giving that bigger picture view. And it's like you have like a third party in your relationship. So you've got you, you've got your partner, and you've also got the relationship vision that actually is like when you look after the relationship vision, you and your partner are going to be looked after in your relationship. So it takes a bit of the me versus you out of it. So, and when you do that, you really create a synergy that's just greater than the two of you.
And again, I've never heard any that come from that perspective again. And, you know, and as you know, I train in goal setting.
That's so right. That's right.
And yeah, it's
haven't applied it to your relationship as yet.
Well, no, no, and which is quite interesting, because we set goals for, well, those of us that set goals set goals for a whole lot of different compartments in our lives, for our business and for our health and and our family and our finances, and if we're setting goals in an effective method, we're doing it right across the board. But setting a goal or a vision, as you say, for your relationship, because again, it's such an important factor to your life.
And when all hell is breaking loose, if you've still got that united vision, it can really be a solid linchpin that can keep you together through the challenging areas, as well as, you know, inviting, because when you create your relationship vision, you set out to do it when you're in a good space. And so you can look at building on the positives. It's not only looking at it when you're in trouble, you know. So that in itself can be a really empowering thing.
Wow. So how do, working with you, how do people go about doing that? I mean, how quickly does it take people to change?
Well, it depends on what depth they're looking at changing. So we have couples that come in. So our sessions are three-hour sessions, because we find that 1 hour just goes so quickly. So we'd rather have a longer session. If people can see us face-to-face, we also do Skype, which is just 1 hour. But a three-hour session might be all a couple needs, just to get a rejig. And all of those seven different steps might be able to be covered in one way or another just in the 3 hours. And so people can really get a complete relationship resetting, reframe in the 3 hour sessions. Or sometimes they might really want to go deep, and they might, you know, work with us on and off for, you know, a year or two or three. We've had some clients that have been with us for years, and they just dip in and out when they're ready to grow a bit more, because our vision is not just about fixing relationship problems. It's about optimizing our relationship so that we can have the most amazing, incredible relationships that we're capable of. So it really depends on what is it that you want, how much pleasure, how much connection, how much joy, you know, do you want in your relationship? So, but at a more practical level, it can start anywhere from 3 hours to a session, a workshop here, a session there, then some time to go and do your own thing, then come back and do another session or two. So it's really up to you.
And you do retreats too, don't you?
We do. Yes, we do beautiful couples retreats, both in Bali, and we're having our first one at Mission Beach in Queensland next April. So
nice.
So we do a combination of face-to-face sessions just south of Byron Bay, Skype sessions, which you can do from the comfort of your own home, either one or a series. And we also do weekend workshops, which are just like an introduction to what we do. And then we do delicious week-long retreats, which totally rejuvenate your relationship from the ground up while you're having a wonderful time as well.
Sounds great. So three takeaway points. We're running out of time.
Yes,
so
I'm sure we've done actually pretty well.
We have, and I think probably the three takeaway points, we've already covered lots of things.
We have,
if we're going to take away three of the most important things out of the discussion and relationships, what would be the three that you'd offer?
So the first one is give yourself permission to feel and make your feelings okay. And it's really, we've talked quite a bit about this, so I won't belabor the point, but that's really what will make you available for a relationship, because when you're feeling, you're connected to yourself and you're available. And knowing that relationships are a dance of intimacy, and they're very subjective. So don't try to be right, just try to understand, and just try to seek connection rather than being right, and you'll get a lot further down the track. And the last one is, you know, taking sex out of that last minute late at night thing that where you have to struggle to release your tension and make it into a place of connection and relaxation as well.
Oh, very good. So relationships are a dance of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Good parts of relationships is about the feelings.
Mm-hmm. And then, absolutely.
And then sex is not about the orgasm, so just don't – or that late night well, sort of thing or the
– Not just focusing on performing to get an orgasm.
Yeah.
It's just about softening, relaxing and enjoying the moment and seeing what happens.
Mm. No, it's great, great points to take away in it. And so how do people get in touch with you?
So our phone number is easy to remember. It's 1-800-TANTRA.
I remember it.
That's right, exactly. And our website is www.oztantra.com. Or if you just Google Tantra, you'll see our website will come up there. So a lot of people, we have two ways, mostly word of mouth or people find us on the website. So either of those and the website, we've got 100 pages of information there so you can check out.
Oh, you've been busy, haven't
Absolutely,
you?
Yes, over the years. That's right. It's a very solid website. There's lots of information there. You can get a really good feel of what you might be looking for and how we might meet that if you have a look at that and send us an email through the website.
And so, I'm sure people have got to know you through this podcast as well.
I hope so.
I mean, it's a subject where people are, you know, really opening themselves up to the people that are counselling them and working with them. So, you know, hearing you speak and throughout this podcast, and I'm yet to meet Graham, so but I've heard lots of really good stories about him.
We both come from a place of we're in relationship too, and we're mucking about in the messiness of it, and we don't come from the place of the expert. I mean, obviously we have a lot of experience and skills, but we don't try to, you know, sit in that power dynamic. We're just in there relating with each other and seeing what we can create out of that.
No, and that sounds good, and getting the best advice for those interested is very valuable. So is there anything else that you want to conclude with before we wrap up?
I just wanted to say that if anyone contacts us and mentions that they heard about us through your program, we're happy to give them a free discovery session,
which is a
value of $150 or an extended early bird fee for any of the workshops or retreats that they might like to attend.
Oh, that's great value. Thank you for that. And
Pleasure. It's
oztantra.com.
It is.
And I'm sure that there'll be people that will follow through. Really appreciate the information that you've given us today. And as I said, I didn't have to turn the air conditioning.
Look out for that ditch digger tomorrow.
The bobcat driver. Really enjoy. So this is another session on We Are Women. And I'd like to thank Annette for sharing her story.
Thank you for having me, Janine.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.